It's time to rock and roll here. So, I don't know, are there any announcements I need to make tonight? Usually that I am the spokesman. Get their stuff. Dishes, if you got dishes here, you can pick them up so Jody will feel better. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to be with us tonight. I ask that you speak to us concerning the different ways in which we view the world and what makes us tick. And I ask that as we look at this world, World 4, that if I describe that to somebody here who lives in that world, that they would also recognize that I'm only looking at the dark side this time and they don't need to feel too guilty. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you have to have this sheet. Everybody needs to have this sheet because I can't get it all on the board anymore. So if you don't have one, they're back there on the thing. You'll have to get up and go get one. But I want you to kind of keep it in front of you. Now, I've got most of World 4 written up here, but I can't get it all written up here. I want to go through some of this. These are the ways that we view the world. And the best statement I know is the way you see the world is not the way the world is, it's the way you are. And by saying that, that gives you an idea that you have a lens that you look through as you look out upon the world, and that's what really makes you tick in terms of things. Now, we're moving into World 4 tonight, which is condemnation versus and forgiveness. That's the rhythm of it. And it's like that sine wave. It goes up and down. Now, I have been mainly dealing with the obsession in these worlds at this point because Jesus is the answer, but we haven't got to the place where we know all the questions. And for us to look at the light side or the illumination in the world, dark worlds that we live in, we've got to at least go through them first. So we're looking more on the dark side for at least the first half of this series because that's where we live. That's the God hole in all of us, you might say. And for this one, the rhythm is between self-condemnation and forgiveness. That's the person who feels guilty is the person who is condemned. And some of us have this as our issue in life. And once again, the sine wave works in terms of highs and lows in this. And sometimes you're down in the hole where you are definitely condemned. You're guilty as charged, if not more than charged. And that's the rhythm for this one. Condemnation and forgiveness. In this particular world, we have a number of things. Now, the issue for, I'm going to kind of walk through all these as I kind of do this so that we get a feel for this. In World 1, it's the universe is out there and time is the problem. In World 2, history is where everything takes place and that's what makes things evil and this person wants to make things right. And they're in conflict to do that. In World 3, the self or the lack of self is the issue. But in World 4, it's demonic or evil. It's the stuff that's on the inside of you that makes you. You're really guilty as charged. It's kind of like in Mike Myers in Wayne's World. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. It's that kind of condemnation that goes with it. It is the power of evil on a person and in a person. It's out there in World 2, the power of evil. But in World 4, it's inside me. This world also has a feeling of oughtness. I ought to do this. I really ought to do this. Because if I don't do this, I'm going to feel guilty about it. And just thinking about it makes me feel guilty about it. So I ought to do it. And then that person also who lives in this world says, you ought to do this. You ought to do this. You ought to do this. And if you don't do it, condemnation comes your way. That's how this world works. The focus in this world is on sin. It's in World 3. Now, sin is described in a number of ways. And I I've heard people call it missing the mark. Have anybody heard that sin is missing the mark? Well, that's actually world three thinking, because we're striving in world three to be the better person, but we miss the mark, and so we do not make it. And so we're impotent, you might say, in trying to get to the place where we need to be. In world four, sin here is willful action. It's intentional. It's choosing to do that which is obviously against God or against the rules. And sometimes the desire, because it is actually forbidden. It's kind of like it says, wet paint, I've got to touch it. That's the kind of thinking that comes in this. Now, Aristotle in the Greek thinking was that the knowledge of good is the reason for doing good. So failure is the reason that we just don't get there. It's missing the mark. It's our own weakness or error. That's world three. World four is there is no good. And the human dilemma is really rooted inside the person, in their will themselves. They can know the wrong and still will to do it. A perfect picture of this comes in Romans chapter 7 when Paul is talking about it. And this one gets preached a lot, so you'll recognize this scripture probably if you've been to church. Paul is writing to the church at Rome and he says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, so then it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me. This is world four thinking. And I'm just no good. And he goes, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. And that's kind of like the demonic feeling of it's sin within me that causes me to do these things. This is Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 25. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to announce them because I didn't have room to write them up there. I'm sorry, I'm guilty. Not really, but... So I find it to be a law that when I do want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, but in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin. So it's all within me. That's what he's talking about here. And it's more about performance than it is intent in some ways. Reinhold Niebuhr, as a theologian, wrote that he said that sin in this is cloaked in self-deception. And this particular world, because of the demonic nature of sin and the demonic nature of self, I hide my motives even from myself. I may be the last to know who I am, even though all around me there are people who suffer because of my own willfulness. And there's no act that I do that is not tainted by the pride of who I am. And deep within me is this will to dominate. You've seen the footprints kind of bulletin that we've used occasionally, and you've seen that picture and all that it is. Well, in that one, world four would be thinking not the tracks in the sand, but I leave my muddy tracks around everywhere I go. World three, we talked about that last week, and the desire in world three is to be the truth. And Jesus is the model for that, and you strive to be something. But it requires a decision each moment. But in world four, we come up against this perfect God. And I'm not worthy. One is never worthy. We're always in the wrong. And this brings about self-condemnation. It brings about condemnation of other people because they're not perfect either. Let me read to you Psalm 130, verse 3, which echoes this. And a lot of this will come from the Psalms tonight because they really do echo World 4, a number of them do. Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou, O Lord, should mark iniquities, that's sin, Lord, who could stand? In other words, we're all guilty. Got it? But verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with you. That's the other end of this rhythm that goes with it. So out comes the guilt here. That's the dark side. Faith means wagering on a paradox. God entered time so that all that is sinful can be forgiven. And yet, this cannot be. He may forgive others. In this world, if you live in this world, you may recognize the fact that God came into the world to take away the sin of the world. But there's always a qualification. And that qualification is this. He forgives others, but he won't forgive me. And you need to hear that if you're in World 4. Because that's the dark side of this thing. He may forgive others, but not me. And then that person becomes the judge. And so condemnation comes from self. Because they're their own judge. He may forgive others, but not me, because I'm the judge. We're the judge. Now, those of us who live in other worlds than this, you can understand other worlds. And that's one of the things I'm trying to bring to us, that we can understand one another a little bit better. But unless you live in a particular world, you cannot feel that rhythm of that issue. I may know about this guilt, condemnation, and forgiveness, and the rhythm of it, and I can understand it in people, but you know what? I'm not World 4. I'm World 3. And so guilt is not the issue that I deal with, and so I don't feel it. And if you're in World 1, you don't feel it. You feel homesick. Or not at home. And so when we look at this and we hear this, somebody out there will resonate in what I'm talking about tonight, because that seems to be, oh, I am guilty. And they live in the nightmare of condemnation. The law is the vehicle for that condemnation. In reality, the Bible is a book of death, because if you read the Bible and all that it talks about in the Bible, it is a book of death unless you apply grace to it. Unless God's grace enters into this thing, it is nothing but a book that will kill. It's the vehicle of death. And as Jesus becomes the judge, or who is grace, and he stands up there and he says to us, and if you read the Bible and you resonate in World 4, he says, be you perfect as God is perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And right there, this person knows, I can never do that. I can never be perfect. And they flow into a world of self-condemnation. And they don't think about it, they feel it. It's the heart of the issue. When he writes that, he said that, be perfect, that's in Matthew 5:48. In Matthew 7:14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And World 4 will resonate with that and almost add to Scripture, and I'm not one of them. In World 4, the good news that Jesus died to take away the sins of the world, to take away your sin and my sin, the good news has to be first heard as bad news. For every effort to obey cannot be done. We are not worthy to do it. And we are guilty as charged. And God has to reach down from heaven in order to do anything. The only thing, we're kind of like, we're as good as the last New Year's resolution. And World 2 basically says the world is a ghetto. But in World 4, it says the world is a ghetto because I'm in it, and it begins with me. The difference between World 2, which is conflict and vindication, and World 4 is that in World 2, you're looking out at the world, and you know that the world is not good. And there has to be a conflict in order to make it better. And you're involved in that conflict to make it better. But in World 4, in World 2, everyone except I is guilty. In World 4, I'm guilty. And I'm right there with everybody else. And in World 2 and 4, this explains the external order is maintained by the police. Because there ought to be a sign out there that says the total depravity of man is present. That includes me. It's like the sign on the liquor store that says we accept food stamps. And in World 4, it's also got this idea that I'm guilty, everybody else is guilty, so treat everybody as if they're all used car salesmen. And in World 4, we know that the world is guilty. There's none that is good, not one. We know that scandal is now the common thing. It's even there in the White House. There's dirty white-collar behavior down to the lowest. Out on Wall Street, down to the guy that works in the coal mine. It's all the same. Ego is central. Self is king, and I am king of all of them. Can we ever do anything that is helpful? Yes, but then the question is, all right, so I do this good thing, but why do I do it? And the question is motive. The issue is always then motive. No matter how outwardly moral an act is or good an act is, the haunting question is, well, why did you do that? Personally, did you do it to be seen? Did you do it to receive some kind of reward, really? Did you do it just to feel better about yourself because you are guilty? Did you do it to gain respectability or even... But possibly even to earn salvation. And this world says there's no such thing as an unselfish act. And so no matter what I do, in the end, it is a means to my ends. If I was World 4, I would be up here struggling with not whether or not this is worth my time or your time, you know, meaninglessness. But it would be this. Why do I teach? Why do I do it just to feed my own ego? Am I just doing my job? You know, if he didn't pay me, would I even do anything like this? You see, the motive issue is involved in World 4. Because that's where condemnation can come in. In World 3... the emptiness of self, if you really knew who I am, you would recognize that there's really nothing on the inside. I'm kind of like Tin Man. You just pound on me, and I read, boom, 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 boom. There's nothing inside of me. But if you're World 4, You're full of yourself. It's all about you. And that's how you see the world. Now, Psalm 12, verses 1 and 2 resonate in this stuff. Help, Lord, for there is no longer any that is godly, for the faithful have vanished from among the sons of men. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips, and a double heart they speak. Now, that's world 2 and world 4. There's a relationship between 2 and 4. In world 2, it's out there in the world, just like that raids. But in world 4, it's not only out there, it's in there as well. And that has to do with the demonic evil. It's not just within the context of human history, but it's the demonic evil that's inside me that is involved. And that's how we work. And yet we have no choice. I mean, it's in reality, we're very little difference from us and the animals. The only difference is the reason we are condemned is we know more than the animals. Conscience is its name. We have this God hole in world 4. If you live in this world, you have a God hole, and conscience is the name that speaks out of that hole. And we know this. Another thing that happens that comes out of world 4, since we condemn ourselves, we condemn others as well, because that's the way we see the world, and we know that that's our nation, and so we have to do this with others. We prohibit others from doing what we do, so we set up all kinds of rules and regulations that stops people from doing those things, and yet we're guilty as charged. This world will drive other people, or drives other people, to be perfect. They need to be perfect. And if you're not perfect, you're judged. You know? They're not living up to your expectations. That's another word for judgment. So there's a couple questions. Do you beat on yourself a lot? Just think about this. Or do you beat on others a lot? Because both of those things have to do with condemnation. And if you resonate in that kind of thinking, or you know, where you beat up on yourself, I'm guilty. Or you do it to others because they're not living up to your expectations, they're not living up to your idea of what perfection is, then you condemn them, then there's a good chance this might be your world. Now, the irony of this is that's the dark side. That's the obsessive side of this thing. The dark side actually is kind of a paradox, because it actually shows the way to light. Because only through confession is there any hope in this world. Only through suffering, if it is fixed, through some kind of an expiation of the sins or atonement, somebody have to make amends, then it takes it away. Now, I'll give you an example of this in Scripture. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 5, is the one that kind of points to the light. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That's whose sin is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity or no sin, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I declared not my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up, as by the heat of summer. Then it comes the acknowledgement or the confession. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to thee, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. When he didn't confess it, it ate him up on the inside. In verse 3 it says that. When he did finally confess it, then he received the forgiveness that came. Now, what this world also thinks about is we can't really will the change that is needed. It's like the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7. He said, I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. I do just the exact opposite. We cannot will the change that is needed, because the will is only involved in its own self-interest. And when I say that, then I'm talking about the demonic evil that's within each of us, about how really guilty and filled with sin we really are. So if you think about it from this standpoint, even in world 4, there's no such thing as an unselfish act. Then the act of salvation, receiving Jesus as your Savior, and is really an act of selfishness. And it starts resonating back and forth. You see, sin in this world is embedded in the lining of the heart. You can't get away from it. The other thing about this world is that this, and this is the way some of us think. We don't actually, I'm explaining it and I'm describing it to you. But the person who lives in these worlds, they have the feel that goes with it. This world also remembers. It's kind of like a lost memory, a time of purity or innocence, like Eden. There's a knowledge and a longing to be and to do the right thing inside of them. And it's like a memory to them to do what's right. And this is where the paradox begins to enter into things. And it really resonates in the people that really function out of this world. And if you find that's about yourself, then you can understand there's a paradox here. Even to do the right and serve self, that's the two things. You do the right, but you're also serving self. So it's like flirting with integrity with a background of guilt. Even when I do what's right, I know that there's a reason why I do it. And I'm not sure it's good. The other thing that World 4 is, since they're into self-condemnation as the dark side, then they also accuse everybody else. They become accusers. And they start doing when they'll question people, it's almost like they're condemning them while they're questioning them in terms of, you must be perfect, but I know you're not. Why do you do that? And then they become judge, not only of themselves, but other people as well. Why do you do what you do? And you can say it in such a way that it's not an interview, it's an interrogation. Why do you do what you do? It's a condemnation right there. Whereas you might come up to a 2-year-old and if you just went, what are you doing? And you can interview them. There's the difference. But this world, because they're already self-condemning, they condemn others. And they don't even know that they do it. You know, and there's double standards that are set up and a lot of double talk. And this world, if you live in this world, you can see it in the world in such a way, from big business to Monica Lewinsky to whatever, big labor, and priests. Or you can go back 20, 30 years and you can see how the abomination of some of these Assembly of God preachers back there, like Jimmy Swaggart, And they see into that sin, and they set up a double standard, and the condemnation enters in. So then you have automatic suspicion of authority, because we know too much about the private lives of people. In World 3, since it's about the lack of self, you might say, and the fact that in reality, if you really knew me, you wouldn't even think about me. This world is about deprivation in many ways because it's about emptiness, deprivation. But in World 4, it's not about deprived, being deprived. It's about being depraved. And the perversity of the ego renders just thinking upon. We reason not from our choices, as you would think about it in World 3, but we do that, we reason not from our choices. Our choices are there to justify what we already want to do. So in other words, it's in this world, I know that it's coming from the inside of me, so I'll draw the bullseye right now, and then I'll shoot the arrow. But if I don't like it, then I'll redraw the bullseye around wherever I hit. The problem is not that the world gives too little witness to God, but that we reject all the evidence because we want to be God. This is the demonic evil that comes out of this one, is that we want to be God instead of God. Because self is God, and the obsession is a way of life. The mark of sin is not so much doing as it is a quality of life which needs to be atoned for. Simply to be means that I'm living at the expense of others in this world. Now, this is the obsession. This is the dark side of this stuff that I'm describing in all these worlds as we're going through it. So you have to understand that this is where we're functioning out of. And this one's got a really darker color to it, you might say, because it is much more in terms of each of us personally that is passionate. The bottom line in this one is, wrong is wrong, but I revel in it. This one would be a person who says, you know, I'm too much of a Christian to enjoy sinning, but I'm also too much of a sinner to enjoy being a Christian. And this world begins to function like that. Perhaps I could decide not to do this anymore and stop, but the truth of the matter is that I just don't want to. Now, one of the things that this world focuses on is sex. Because sex is what drives us in terms of life. And it focuses on sex to understand the workings of sin. Sex is where the will is swept up into every imagined perception of illicit possibility. The will, the self, and the flesh is all tied together, and there's a storm that overtakes even the most determined sailor, you might say, in this world. Why sex? Because it's such a strong passion within us. It drives us. It drives us in so many different ways that we can't really get a handle on it. It will make you or break you. Your sex drive can make you or break you. There was a guy by the name of St. Anthony. I don't know who the guy was, but he spent 66 years in a monastery, and he was on his deathbed, and he said this: there's only one conflict, and that is with fornication. And he's probably 90 years old. This is not about love. This is about X-ray fantasies. Not just desire. Fantasy has to do with exploiting and forcing and using and humiliating and overpowering. So it should not surprise us that religious people sometimes succumb to this. Many of them are World 4 people like Jimmy Swaggart, if you remember him. This world resonates within Roman Catholicism. I know some of you come from that background. Why do you think you have all the confession and the indulgences and all that kind of stuff that goes with this? And actually, and then within the Protestant side for the last 100 years, in the more fundamental evangelical branches of the Protestant the megaphone has been this world four in the church, in the Protestant church. This one has a passion to it that is filled with the flesh. Psalm 51, verses 1 to 5. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love, according to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified in thy sentence and blameless in thy judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In other words, I was born in sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This is world four. It is just loaded with this. Now, the epiphany, or the light side of this, is also in Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In other words, that's the answer here, is to be broken. That means to recognize and confess your sin and really be broken on the inside. This is what world four thinking is. It's the lands of world four. In other words, for this world, and this is condemnation, simply to be means living at the expense of others. And the bottom line is that wrong is wrong, and I revel in it, and I can't help it. And that's why sex becomes such a driving force in this one. Now, non-residents of this world, and that means like world three people or world one people that have to do with home and things like that, misunderstand it. We do it because we romanticize the obsession. That you got to have a broken heart, and it's really the, you know, flat lays himself down and says, I'm guilty as charged. And we, those of us in the other worlds, have a tendency to romanticize this, that this is the way. This is the way to God. And we see it that way. But the fact of the matter is, as an obsession in this one, sin is not exciting. In fact, it is very commonplace. And life copes with tiresome sinning of tiresome people, not great sinning. Most of it is little sinning all the time, and it just gets where it drags you down. And world four is shaped by original sin. And when I say original sin like this, this is where we say, for we have lost the capacity to sin with any originality. Original sin. Depravity is drab. Yeah, there's no strength of will to live with it or fight against it. You know, it's like the smoker who buys one pack at a time, always the last one that he's going to buy. But then the next time he runs out and he goes out and buys another pack, that's going to be the last one he ever buys. It's the alcoholic who goes, I'm going to quit drinking, but it only lasts for a day or two, and then they're back at it, you know. And they have no will, and it's just sin. And it's drab, and it's not pretty. And it's not pretty. And it's always painted with a brush that is a self-portrait. And then if you want to move away from just the local yourself, all you have to do is take a broom and then paint the world with it, because that's the way the world is. We are that way. Our wills are diseased. We see with an appetite of smut. And God and Satan are warring over us. And the battlefield is the human heart. And we are horses that are ridden by neither. Now, in this world, world three, this is the outcast. This is the world that says, I want to invite you to come and know why you are. World three does that. But in world four, the light is not nurtured. It is not lured. It is not invited. In world four, you are a broken person. And you are broken into change. In other words, you got to be hit over the head. And if you are not broken, then you cannot be changed. Only when one can no longer reach up and do anything with themselves, and they've come to the very end of their line, can anything reach down and grab them. And so this one's kind of a brutal world in terms of when the light begins to show. When you finally come to the realization in this world, this person says, that I am unlovable. Then love can break through. And it breaks through as a gift. In world three, it's not that the world three person is unlovable. The world three person is just nothing. So you don't think about it at all. Him at all. But in world four, there's a passion in it. You know that you are unlovable. And that you are, in reality, evil on the inside. And unlovable. And to know love, then, is to be made right. In world three, to be loved is to be made somebody. But in world four, to be loved is to be made right. In world one, to be loved is to feel that you have come home. In world two, to be loved is that you know somebody's on your side in the battle. But in world four, you're really unlovable. And if somebody should choose to love you, that is the gift. Now, as in all these worlds, there is a dark side to all these worlds, and it eats away at the light. But in world four, there's more passion to it or something. It's the priest who cries, God will break you. And then he prays over the person. He says, God grant that you may despise yourself. Because that's what can strip us of the monster on the inside. When we recognize we really are a monster on the inside. And only brokenness can bring forgiveness, because you finally resign yourself to it. Now, it's different in different worlds here, you know. For that to be happen, you need to find home in the first world. To find vindication, you have to find it in the history or the time of your life. In world three, you find it in somebody who loves you that way. But in world four, you got to be hit on the head and get your attention. Now, new life is not a clean slate because there really was no slate at all. Acceptance in spite of unacceptability is the joy of forgiveness as a pure gift. Being broken and forgiven are dynamic, and it's a sine wave. Sometimes you feel forgiven, sometimes you feel condemned. I mean, it's like everybody else. We all have ups and downs. Satan is alive and well. We know it, and he's alive and well in me. In World 2, you see us caught in history, suffering the evil of the world. World 4, the evil's in us, and also written in the heavenly places as well, because we can read about it, and we can see it in the world. In World 4, in World 2, you're looking down, or you're looking into the world, and you say, the world is bad. I can see it out there. In World 4, that's the lens that you look through is the world is bad, and the reason I know that, I'm in it. Because I'm no good. So, if you lose guilt, if you lose any your guilt, then you really lost your context in this world. Total depravity defines this world thinking. And whole human depravity is experienced as guilt. Now, there are movies that speak to this, and I always like to use movies because they're parables. And we watch them. You can read stories about this, and some of you may have read books about this kind of stuff too. But there are movies out there that have speak to this world for. The Legend of the Fall. Anybody seen that one? That really is about a prodigal son. That is the prodigal son theme. Another one is A River Runs Through It. That's got that prodigal theme as well. But the real killer of a movie for this particular world is The Fisher King with Jeff Bridges and Robin Williams. And Robin Williams is filled with personal guilt and condemnation because his wife-to-be was murdered in front of his eyes and he was unable to do anything about it. And he suffers from tremendous guilt. And if you ever have a chance to watch it, it is all about self-condemnation and forgiveness. And it runs through the whole movie, and the way they tie it all together, Jeff Bridges is suffering from self-condemnation as well. As well as Robin Williams is. And it also talks about redemption out of this. And that movie is just classic. World 4. Now, so I know a number of you come from a Roman Catholic background. And World 4 and 5 are classic thinking out of Roman Catholic. World 4. The human is a creature condemned to death who lives under a stay of execution for an unknown length of time. In other words, if you're living in this world, you're on death row. And you just don't know when. You are doomed by the wages of sin, but you're haunted by the light. You remember innocence as a haunting memory, but it was so long. Only blood can take guilt away in this world. Atonement is through blood because there is a passion that goes with this. You know, the Passion of Christ that Mel Gibson did is one in which you really see the power of the blood, you might say, in the sacrifice. Only blood can take the guilt away. The Christ figure, an innocent, is the only thing that can redeem the guilty. You ever seen the movie The Green Mile? Oh, it's a classic too. In The Green Mile, the guy that's the large black guy that's 8 feet tall, I guess, He had the gift of healing. But it was more than just the gift of healing. He had the gift of taking evil out of the world. He couldn't save the girls. That's why he was in prison, because the evil had already killed them. But he redeems. He sucks the evil literally right out of people. When Tom Hanks had the bladder infection, or what was going on with him, he took it and he sucks it right out. And of course, they show it with the blowing of all the flies, you might say. And then he saved that woman who had the cancer. But in the end, he was also the judge. And out of that movie, you see the prison situation. And in the prison situation, I have come to realize this. As I've worked in prisons, there is not much difference between the keeper and the kept. In that movie, you all kind of participate. Everybody participates in the electrocution of that man. It's kind of like the crucifixion. The innocent could not be saved. There had to be a blood sacrifice. And in the horror of that event, in that movie, the profound thing was that everybody was guilty. Everybody, because they were taking the life of an innocent. They were taking innocent blood. In church, we have the lens, and there's hymns that we sing that speak to World 4. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch like me. Just as I am, I come without one plea. Those are the kinds of songs, those that we're guilty as charged. And this world really festers with that kind of understanding. World 3, you're afraid of being nothing. In World 4, you're afraid of being yourself. Sin is the state. Stealing doesn't make you a thief. You steal because you are a thief. Committing adultery doesn't make you an adulterer. You commit adultery because you are an adulterer. It's in the blood, so to speak. We are tainted, focusing the dark. And so one of the things that happens with this world is that living is a seeking after justification through works. When you are born in this world, it's as if you are born and you awaken to a checking account that is already overdrawn. This generates perfection in this world with a fear of failure. Not all perfectionists are World 4, but there's a good percentage of perfectionists because they're filled with a fear of failure because they have to justify themselves through works. And so if you were thinking of it just in debting, like Presbyterians would forgive us our debts, whereas Methodists are more into property rights, trespassing. In this world, Word for the debt, foreclosure is never a question. It's only when. To live in this world is to live on borrowed time. And the central nightmare is to run out of time to justify oneself. And so they strive through works for perfection. And the need in this world is to refinance your life. Because we never quite measure up. Never quite good enough. But if we were to justify ourselves, then we take a stance that rivals God, and then guilt comes back in because it drives us, because suddenly I think I'm like God, and I'm guilty once again. Beginning of light is condemnation, though, which is really interesting. Condemnation is actually the beginning of light in this world. The only sacrifice that will suffice is a broken and contrite heart, which we read in the psalm. So election is the language of this world, or adoption. Not adoption like in World One, because that has to do with abandonment or isolation. But adoption is the fact that somebody chooses to love you in spite of yourself, so it must be a gift. This is an election. You are chosen in spite of yourself. And the motive, the empowerment, the access to you is really the gift. And there is just no way to get around it. World 4, Christmas time. Have you been good, little girl? Now, we say that, and that's part of our picture in Christmas. But when you say that, they're saying you really only deserve coal unless you work at being perfect so that you can get something. So a gift in this world, grace, the gift that God gives to us in Jesus, is a gift that cannot be deserved, claimed, or earned. Thus, even the capacity to accept a gift as a gift must be a gift. Who killed Jesus? It was those of us who prefer to destroy the judge rather than hear the judgment. But Christ crucified is also Christ resurrected, who haunts us. You know, in World 4, there's a story in 2 Samuel where Nathan the prophet tells David this story about this guy who stole this guy's property and then had him killed. And David got wroth, full of anger about it. And Nathan says, "You're the man. Because you stole a man's wife, Bathsheba, and then you had him killed. You're the man." And that's kind of the way it is in World 4. You're the one. And the darkness is rooted in those broken relationships. In World 4, God needs to be a person who redeems. In World 3, God needs to be the one who creates out of nothing, because that's really all I am, is nothing. It's harder to redeem than it is to create. You know, I remember Bill Cosby saying on one of his things, he's about talking to his son, he says, "I just kill you and make another one just like you." Creation's easier than redemption. It is a lot easier to create a new child than it is to redeem one who is 23 years old and has gone bad. It is a lot easier to create a new marriage than to fix an old one. Redemption is World 4. Creation is more in World 3. Creating out of nothing, World 4 is redeeming. Jesus as Redeemer, you see, sin is deadly. And who did he redeem? The one who denied him three times. In World 1, I'm going to kind of walk through these with you, because I'm starting to do this stuff with you. How am I doing on? I've got to quit. But I'm going to walk through these four. Sin is taking one's relationship for granted. In World 1, that's what the sin really is. Taking your relationships in your home or whatever for granted. A picture of that is the prodigal son parable that Jesus told. In World 2, sin is destroying relationships in history by pride and power. And this is where somebody lords it over somebody else and because they think they're better than somebody else. And so anger is generated and then sin occurs. In world three, relationship is nothing. And that's where the sin lies. In world four, sin is a desecrated relationship. It's betrayal at its heart. It's to feel is one lying, deceiving, dishonor, sacred trust. When I say it's a desecrated relationship, that to desecrate a grave is to treat it in such a way that you destroy the sacredness of it. So in world four, sin is a desecrated relationship. And whether we're talking about a spouse or a friend or a parent or a child, it doesn't matter, but it's the desecration. Something that was hot, sacred is desecrated. It's a betrayal at its heart. It brings about a dishonor of that sacred trust. And we do it by justifying ourselves, self-righteousness, until we get found out. And then the priceless vase is broken. And if only I could take it back, but we can't. Now I'm going to stop there. I'm mainly in the dark side of these things because, you know what? Being a pastor and just being a human being, I can tell you that we have the dark side in us. And if we can at least appreciate the dark hole, you can understand when the light hits you. So I pray that that's what we're getting to here. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that whatever I said tonight that is worthy of your name, that is good for us in terms of understanding who we are and what we are, so that we can live this life as your people. I pray that any of that is good would be worked into us. The rest can just fall to the ground. In Jesus' name, amen.